You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Many scientists believe that we're living through Earth's sixth mass extinction, and some estimate that 30 to 50% of all species alive today will disappear by mid-century. Chunwei Yi's new three-part series called Rare, Creatures of the Photo Ark, follows National Geographic photographer Joel Santori as he tracks down the most endangered species and creates a comprehensive visual record of the world's biodiversity. The series is produced by WGBH Boston and So World Media LLC with National Geographic channels, and it premieres on PBS stations tonight at 9. I'm very pleased to welcome Joel Santori and Chunwei Yi to our show now. Hi.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having the animals.
Hi, thanks.
Joel, what led you to start working on the Creatures of the Photo Ark series?
You know, I'd been a globe-trotting National Geographic photographer for about 15 years, and I'd done more than 20 stories for them, maybe 25. And then my wife got breast cancer. This is about 12 years ago, and she's fine today, but she was undergoing radiation and chemo for almost a year, and I stayed home. For a full year, I was grounded, in effect, to take care of our three kids and her, of course. And I'd never had the time to stop and think, really, about what I could do with my, you know, my urge to help save the Earth. And knew that these magazine stories I'd done all kind of came and went in a month. And I thought, well, maybe I should do something that has more lasting value. Maybe it's a series of portraits of animals on black and white backgrounds, to really allow us to look these animals in the eye without any distractions. And it's also a great equalizer. It makes a mouse every bit as magnificent as an elephant in a way. So I started out small, and today we're at 6,500 species from around the world on our way to getting every species in human care around the Earth, which is about 13,000. We figure it'll take another 15 years or so, and then we'll be done.
So you started locally, going to the zoo, and then when your wife got better, you were able to travel around the world. How do you manage to get the animals in front of a black or white backdrop?
That's a good question.
I mean, you're shooting everything from frogs the size of a fingernail to giraffes.
Right. That's right. Well, we work with zoos a long time in advance to find out what they have and what I can photograph. Most of these animals are born and raised in human care, and so they're used to people. And for a giraffe, you would just get them used to coming in to have lunch in front of a big black background that we'd put up. The zoo would put that up weeks in advance of me getting there sometimes. If it's a smaller animal, like a little frog or a turtle or an insect, then we put them inside a little shooting tent to contain them. They only see the front of my lens, and the shoot just lasts a few minutes, and off they go. And so that's how we do it. We do a lot of prep work is the short answer. We probably prep three or four times more than we actually shoot.
Chunwei, how did you get involved in this project?
This project was it came through WGBH and John Bredar, our executive producer. He had always wanted to tell Joel's story. And when I started off at National Geographic, you know, I came up through the ranks in television and saw all his photographs. My wife and Joel made programs around the world, and here we are now telling Joel's photo arc story.
How much footage was shot for the series?
Hundreds of hours in 4K. It was a lot of footage, and I think we've winnowed it down to some of the more amazing.
And there were animals and photo shoots that didn't wind up making it into the series?
For sure. I mean, we definitely wanted to present to the public a really good variety. You know, I think people watching this, they'll come away with perhaps a new favorite animal.
How many of the animals that we meet in the series were found in the wild? And how many in captivity?
Yeah, so Joel's project, he would not be able to build his photo ark without the help of zoos. I mean, zoos are the arks of the world these days.
Joel, and because they've been kind of socialized with humans?
Well, it's because a lot of these animals are gone in the wild now. They don't exist in the wild. So if it weren't for zoos keeping them and breeding them, they'd be extinct.
They totally don't exist in the wild?
Oh, yeah. There's thousands of species that are gone now from the wild that are extinct. And zoos can save a few thousand. They are conservation centers now. They're no longer just menageries, most of them. And they can save a few thousand. And so that's that's what we're looking at. For a lot of species, this is it. That what zoos save is all there is.
John,
that's right.
For years, people felt that zoos were cruel. Now it turns out that they are saving a lot of rare species?
For sure. I mean, we look at the Bronx Zoo and the Wildlife Conservation Society that founded the Bronx Zoo. And, you know, a few of the species in the series covers that their conservation work around the world.
Are any of the species ever reintroduced into the wild?
Definitely. WCS has been working with the Yangtze giant softshell turtle. It's the largest and rarest freshwater turtle, and they're trying to, they put them, the last male and female in the world of this species, together to try to get them to breed and hopefully reintroduce them back.
That's in your second episode. The scientists extracted the sperm from the last male to artificially inseminate one of the world's last females. We seen any positive results?
They're still working on it. It's still the fourth quarter, you know, maybe in overtime. The latest artificial insemination procedure was not successful, but it's definitely in Hail Mary time.
Now, that's
right,
Yangtze in China.
A lot of species that are saved, like the WCF, their founder, brought in some of the last bison. And bison are doing fine now. So there's a lot of species can be saved, but first we have to get to know them. We have to meet them. We have to know they exist and let people know what the needs are. So that's really what we hope the program gets at, is that we all can do a lot, but we have to first be aware that there's a problem, that there's a need.
Well, Chun, the Yangtze, I'm not going to pick on you because you're Chinese,
yeah.
But why have they come close to extinction in China?
Well, so with humans, we own the world, right? There are no other species out there that can pave roads, build buildings, and make factories. And the Yangtze giant softshell turtle has a soft shell, and so it has very sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. And if their rivers, if their habitats get polluted, their skin is absorbing toxins, and so we need to be a bit more responsible.
My guests are Chun Wei Yi, filmmaker, and Jill Satori, photographer. We're talking about a series that they've created called Rare Creatures of the Photo Ark that premieres tonight at 9 on PBS stations. Joel, the first episode of the series begins in Madagascar. What makes that country's wildlife unique?
You know, that it's a huge island. It's been physically separated from the African continent for a long, long time. And so they developed the first primates there, proto-simians, they call them, and they're lemurs. And so they have all these different lemurs there and a host of other animals and plants that are very unique to that place. A lot of the wildlife found on Madagascar is specific to Madagascar. And again, as Chun Wei mentioned, we have so many people spreading out now. We're on our way to 8, 9, 10 billion souls. Everybody needs to eat, and as we spread out and we convert forests to farmland, these animals run out of places to live and breed and thrive. And so it's kind of a race for us to get around and see all these animals and bring attention to them before it's too late.
Some of the deforestation in Madagascar is related to the production of charcoal, which some of the people there sell mm-hmm. or use for cooking. So just the interests of humans, we're in competition with each other. Chun Wei, tell us about lemurs. Are they very different from other primate species?
Well, so they run the gamut. You have the tiniest chameleon, or Madagascar has amazing animals. And lemurs are a great example of that. In the series, we go and see the Deccan Safaka, and we have a natural history sequence where we see these in Safaka in their natural habitat. And these guys have adapted so well to their habitat, which is, if you look at it from the air, it's just this blanket of needles of these sharp rocks, and they've adapted to this specific habitat with thicker pads, thicker underbodies, and they can leap 20-30 feet from spire to spire.
The lemurs we see in the series seem to be quite friendly. Is that often the case?
Well, lemurs, I mean, we're primates as well. I mean, lemurs can be very approachable. I mean, in Madagascar,
not all monkeys,
not all, but there is, in Madagascar, there is a culture to not hunt lemurs, and so you know, over time they are not threatened.
Joel, are endangered animals put at risk if they're too comfortable in the presence of humans?
Oh yeah, certainly. That's a big challenge for people that are doing captive breeding of animals for release. The animals you have to take special care not to habituate them too much to people, or they become too friendly and they get shot, or they get hit by cars. California condors are a classic example of this. Mexican gray wolves. So we have to be pretty careful when we hand raise animals and not let them know they're being raised by humans. There's lots of examples out there of people wearing whooping crane costumes when they're raising chicks, for example, to rear these birds so that the young ones think that they're being raised by wild parents. So it is a problem when you get down to so few animals that you have to do captive breeding. You really start adding up the problems exponentially. But I'm very heartened by the fact that wherever we went around the world, we saw people that were literally saving species. These are people that just were determined to do it. And it gives me a lot of hope, and it'll inspire people as well when they watch the show.
Chen Wei, you introduce us to two endangered species of animals in the Florida Keys. How have they been affected by humans?
Well, the two species are the Lower Keys marsh rabbit and the key deer. Now, the key deer is this miniature deer. It's related to the. It is a white-tailed deer that we see all across North America. And the key deer and the lower marsh rabbit, they live on land that is around 1 to 3 feet above sea level. And so sea level rise is a real problem.
Climate change is having an impact.
Global warming, yep. And it affects the animals as well as us.
But also our pets.
So yes, cats. Cats just decimate the Lower Keys marsh rabbits. The Lower Keys marsh rabbits, they don't, when they feel threatened, they don't run. They just go perfectly still. So they kind of become sitting targets for these cats.
Joel, how?
With domestic cats, too, people should realize they're great and all, but they're very efficient predators. And so even if your cat's been declawed, it's best to keep them inside at all times, or they'll be killing a lot of songbirds. They'll try to kill whatever they can. It's important for people to remember that. If they care about songbirds, they care about rabbits, care about squirrels, then you want to keep your cats inside.
Well, I don't care about squirrels, but the other two I like. How are humans affected by the extinction of other species? Some might find it hard to believe that animals like naked mole rats can play a large role in our future.
Well, I tell you, if you think about it, like, let's say if you're flying in a jet across the ocean and the plane is held together with rivets. You see one rivet working out of the wing, you probably wouldn't look up from your magazine very long. You saw a bunch of rivets working loose, you'd be looking around for a parachute. Well, there ain't no parachute. This is the only planet we've got. So what we tell people is, look, we don't know how it will affect you if this mole rat goes away, or this frog, or even this rhino. But we do know that we count on pollinating insects like butterflies and bees to bring us one-third of the food we eat. We count on intact rainforests around the world to be standing to regulate our climate and deliver to us the moisture, the precipitation we need to grow crops to feed ourselves. So we just cannot think that we're going to doom half of all species to extinction, but that humans will be just fine. It is not going to work that way. When we save other species, we're really saving ourselves in the long run.
Bats are another example.
Sure.
Is there a way for listeners to see the photo arc online?
Oh, absolutely. They can just Google photo arc and up it will come. Geographic's got a great site, photoarc.org. We have a lot of the photo arc up on my site, which is joelsartori.com. They go to the PBS site, they'll see photo arc pictures. So it's pretty easy. If you just Google photo arc, you'll see it.
Now, Chen Wei, are you finished with endangered species? Or now that Joel probably will move on to others, will you be following him more?
Well, Joel is about, what, you're halfway through your project, your 25-year-long project? I don't know anyone else that takes on 25-year projects. But there's a long list of animals, and if people have a hunger to see these animals and learn more about our world, there will be more.
And what's your next project?
Well, I'm working with a, working with Stone Barn Center for Food and Agriculture. They're up in Westchester, New York, and
Blue Villa Stone Barns.
Exactly.
Dan and Barber, one of the great chefs of the world.
They're trying to save the world through one bite of food at a time.
My great thanks to both of you for coming by to talk about this. Chun-Wei Yi and Joel Satori, the series running starting tonight and running for how long?
Three Tuesdays in a row.
Is called Rare Creatures of the Photo Arc, 9 p.m. tonight on PBS stations. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us.